Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mecca for geese in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Long Box, guys. My name is Thomas Strange. With me, as always, are some of my best friends since I was a little kid, since we wielded swords and spears and shields playing Dungeons and Dragons together. Yes, that's going to come up later. Joshua Opper, you big brute, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing pretty good today, and I am drinking Treehouse Brewing's Julius. It's a delicious, very fruity IPA.
And you're a very fruity young man. Mike, who's been day drinking since 1:30, how you doing and what are you down to?
I have three of Woodchuck Ciders left. We'll see if I can get through them by the end of this podcast.
Excellent. We have drunk your house dry on numerous occasions. Don't disappoint us today, my friend.
I hope to live up to your expectations.
Thank you. Tommy, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing okay, and I am drinking Glenlivet French Oak Reserve. Oh. It is delicious.
Oh. I am drinking, once again, a Harvey Bullock that my wife made for me. It is multiple scotches all thrown into a glass with ice, and it is always delicious and nutritious. It's such a barbarian-type drink. Speaking of which, king of the segues, today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite characters in comic books and in literature, if you can call it that, Conan the Barbarian. Conan the Barbarian has gone into comic books, television shows, film, radio. I don't know if he's been on radio.
Sure.
I'm going to assume.
Yeah,
sure. Why not?
I can verify that. I heard it today.
Yeah. Probably film projection strips.
Slideshows.
At least
PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah. Conan the Barbarian has been around for a long time. I guess I'm going to be giving, since I'm the big fan, I'm going to be giving a quick, brief synopsis of everyone's favorite barbarian. He was created by Robert E. Howard. And Robert E. Howard, born in 1906, died in 1936, had a lot of different interests. Boxing, sword and sorcery, bodybuilding, and science fiction. He got his early years, he got to start writing for Weird Tales. And that's going to come into play when he starts making his sword and sorcery stuff. He created the Conan character at around, I can't remember the year on that one. Somewhere around 1926, a little bit after that actually, because he had a couple other things. Now at the same time, there was another writer over at Weird Tales, and that was H.P. Lovecraft. See, I brought that around for you there, Josh?
Yeah.
So Lovecraft and him formed a kind of a writer's guild and circle. It became like one of the most famous writer guilds or circle ever anywhere. They made tons and tons of Pulp Fiction together, and Robert E. Howard also wrote some of the H.P. Lovecraft Cthulhu stuff under H.P. Lovecraft and under his own name. So, Josh, you have a whole new thing that you can look under for Robert E. Howard. You can go and look at all this Lovecraft stuff because I know how much you love Lovecraft.
I do love me some Lovecraft.
Conan was wildly popular for him. By the Saxi Rule, the Bullfinch Mythology, the Frost Giant's Daughter, Hibernian Age. These were huge sellers for him, and they were picked up by Weird Tales, and it allowed him to quit his day job as a pharmacist to actually pursue what he wanted to do and become a writer. Unfortunately, he was a very troubled man, and he died at an early age from self-inflicted wounds, suicide. He had definite, you know, mental illness problems that plagued him throughout his writing and throughout his life.
Way to bring us down.
Hey.
Yeah.
I also found out that he wrote another one of my favorite characters. Josh, anyone have a guess who my other favorite character was that he invented?
Tarzan?
Baby Jesus.
Nope. Baby Jesus is a good one.
Eric Cartman?
Another good one. Well, two characters I like. He also invented Kull.
The Conqueror?
Kull the Conqueror, which, I mean, the similarities are so blatant, I suppose it's not hard to see. But he also did Solomon Kane.
Oh.
Yeah, Solomon Kane was terrific. I love Solomon Kane. So both of these created by Robert that I did not know, partly along with the help of the H.P. Lovecraft collection. So let's go around the table. We'll talk about some of the other great pulp and things that we like about Robert E. Howard and mostly Conan. Mike, what do you got for me?
Well, my first introduction to Conan the Barbarian was through my dad, actually. He collected comic books at the same time I did. I was into superheroes, but he loved all that other stuff. So I actually have, or had, a very large Conan the Barbarian collection from my dad, which I then gave to one of my nephews because I am not a Conan the Barbarian fan. I've tried to read some of the Dark Horse stuff, which has some of my favorite writers, including Fred Van Lente and Kurt Busiek and Roy Thomas writing for it, but it still doesn't grab me. If I'm going to recommend a series for someone, I think you should check out Gru the Wanderer by Sergio Argonés. It is my favorite Conan comic.
You know what? That's fair. Gru the comic is a brilliant comic in its own right. It does share a lot of similarities with some of the Conan ones, but I don't think you're getting Conan nearly enough credit. Tommy, what do you got for me?
Well, I am not as well versed in Conan as you are, Tom. My first introduction to Conan was from Saturday TV of the movies that featured Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I have read Conan Volume 1, The Frost Giant's Daughter and Other Stories, that was retold by Kurt Busiek, Kerry Nord, and Tom Yates, produced by Dark Horse, released back in 2005. And it was a wonderful story in which Conan decides to leave Samaria and go wandering to find Hyperbolea. And I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right.
Sure.
To see this magical land that his father told him about, where it's warm and people are lazing about eating fruit, and there are learned people all about enjoying themselves. And he finds a much, much different reality where that famous tilled land is only for the few, and it is off the backs of slaves. And he fights the system, and it was a great retelling of that story.
All right.
Yeah, quick side note about the Dark Horse comics. That one you're talking about, the Frost Giant one, is actually a Robert Howard story that they took and made into the comic book, and they kept his original script and everything. When I interviewed Fred Van Lente, he is working on Conan the Avenger, and he did the witch story where, you know, the famous one where Conan gets crucified. And it is, again, not a fan of Conan, so I did not enjoy it. Conan, it actually serves as like kind of a minor character in the whole story. It's mainly about these two sisters and the witch that takes over the kingdom. But again, they're all being very true to Robert Howard's stories when they do the comic books for Dark Horse. But they do have some original stories, too.
Robert Howard is a prolific writer for Word Tales. There's no shortage of stories for modern comic books to draw upon. I loved The Frost Giant's Daughter when I read it, and I haven't seen the Dark Horse comic yet, but now I'm really looking forward to it. How about you, Josh?
So I think my first introduction came, and I'm not 100% sure, Mike, but you might have given this to me when we were kids.
Chlamydia?
No, it was that was Andy. it was one of those like giant-sized, magazine-sized ones, and you had three or four issues of Conan.
Yeah.
And I think you gave those to me when we first started playing D&D. And that was really sort of my first foray into sort of fantasy comics. I couldn't find them. They're packed away somewhere. I was looking for them for the show, but I couldn't find them.
As a quick aside, why were those magazines of Conan so large? Anybody?
Because he's a huge guy. You couldn't fit him in a regular size comic.
That's not a bad guess, Mike.
I don't know.
To get around the comic book code of authority. Yeah, they decided to make some comic books a lot bigger, magazine size, and that way they didn't need the comic book code of authority seal of approval on them. So a lot of these more adult comic books, like Conan the Barbarian, some of the Weird Tales, Cracked, even Mad, decided to go to a larger format at that time, just to not have to be a quote-unquote comic book and to be a magazine instead. So some horror magazines went that way, and some more adult stuff like Heavy Metal went that way too. So you'll find a lot of these comic books in this larger format just to get around that.
Funny you should mention that. Dark Horse Comics Conan number 24 features a totally naked woman. You can see everything on the cover of the comic book, and they sent it out to comic book shops, and comic book shops were not happy about it.
I have a question. In what position would a woman have to stand so in one panel we could see everything?
All right. Sorry. You couldn't see everything, but you see the full frontal nudity as she's lying there with Conan standing behind her.
Tom, it's just a picture of the universe, and they say, imagine a naked woman. You can see everything.
I was kind of hoping she had to bend herself into a Mobius strip of pornography so I could see everything. Mobius strip of pornography. Banned or no banned?
Banned.
Banned.
No, we'll look it up later. No banned.
And wait, Tom.
Do marching bands count?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay, banned.
In The Frost Giant's Daughter, there is some partial nudity in it, but not really too many scenes of full frontal.
So you're saying I could spank it, but my spank dollars are better spent elsewhere.
I'm saying, knowing you, you could probably get to full release, but it might take you a while.
How well do you know me, for God's sakes?
He just thinks you read slow.
Oh, I know you pretty well ever since I put in that security camera in your house.
Fair enough.
Now I can't remember what the second module of the Giants trilogy is. It's the Hill Giants Jarl. What was the Frost Giants one? He keeps talking about Frost Giants.
It's the Fortress of the Hill Giants. And it's the Frost Castle Giants Jarl.
Oh, damn it. I had it screwed up. That's why.
Yeah.
And the last one is the Cloud Giants, right?
No. It's
Fire Giants.
Fire Giants.
They never fight Storm Giants because you'd get destroyed. They're too tough, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Get your head out of your ass.
What, they're giants and they control lightning? What do you mean they control lightning? They're giants.
Maybe.
Game over, man. Dungeons & Dragons, game over.
Hey, shut up. This halfling has survived 2 years with these Storm Giants.
With no ring of protection against lightning, no elemental protection, and just a flimsy cake and half a beard. Oh, great. Why don't you put the halfling in charge?
He does have a 10-foot pole, though.
That's his porn name. Josh 10-foot pole hopper.
Have you seen okay, I'll leave that to the my random things. Yeah,
all right, leave that to random things. The first thing I read about Conan was, of course, comic books, but I think the thing that really got me into it is the movies. I really, really enjoyed the Schwarzenegger movie to the point of, you know, watching them over and over again. And I didn't really get into it until the second movie, which was Conan the Destroyer, because it introduced the greatest on-screen thief of all time, Malek the Thief, who, if you really pay attention to the movie, has more kills, or at least almost as many kills, as Conan himself. That's right. Don't argue with that because it's fact. It's fact, gentlemen.
Mouse from Lady Hawk is a better thief.
No, he is not. Did Mouse ever hit a backstab?
I think those two ferrets. I think the two ferrets from Beastmaster were a better thief.
Oh yeah, you're right. I yield the floor to you, LT. Continue.
I mean, they could practically get into anywhere.
My hate for you both is palpable. You could palp it. I could put it on toast and eat it as a delicious dessert. Not unlike Nutella, you fucking bastards. Malik hits like backstabs on people on horseback.
Yeah.
And I do love Nutella.
He hides in shadow under one thing in the desert that's casting a shadow. There's like only one shadow in the desert for like miles. He hides it and then hits a backstab.
But have you ever had Biscoff cookie spread?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
And you're delicious.
Mouse killed 482 people in the sequel to Lady Hawk, Hawk Lady.
Look,
I forgot to watch Hawk Lady.
It was called Hawk Lady, Mouse Boogaloo.
Look, they had to kill exactly 400 people to save the
rec center.
The rec center, yeah.
Those two ferrets could get into just about anything to steal keys. All I'm saying is, you know, you need them to get into a temple. They could go anywhere.
All right,
they were one-trick ponies.
Wait, I'm going to disagree because those ferrets weren't anything special. Any ferret can do that. Ferrets are notorious. And I don't mean to sound speciesist here, but ferrets are fucking thieves. Right?
You've been anti-ferrets.
Exactly. It's like it's in their blood to be thieves.
Yeah. You know, the only thing with a higher kill count in a movie, I think, is let's not forget, what was that terrible Dungeons & Dragons movie? Hawk the Slayer.
Oh, yeah, that elf.
That elf. That should have been called Hawk the Serial Killer.
Gilder Goldwine.
Wait, Gilder Goldwine? Did Jay steal the last name from that guy?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wait, he stole the whole name.
He stole the whole name. That was Jay's character, and that was the character in the movie. I'm like 89.5% sure it's Gilder Goldwine.
So, Jay, if you want to argue that you did not steal that, who should he write into? LuckyBastard@thelongboxguys.com.
That's right.
Or you could tweet us at thelongboxguys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give us some more tweets. We're having a lot of fun talking about a bunch of things that have been going on this week. Last word on this, by the way. Who remembers the cartoon Young Conan? I bet y'all remember the stupid bird. Yeah, you do. The phoenix.
Did the bird?
You wanted pomegranates?
Did the bird go on to be Big Bird on Sesame Street?
The bird did not go on to be Big Bird.
Was the bird a metal owl? Because otherwise I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah.
Did the bird go on to get a job on Birdman?
No.
So I was wrong.
Nah.
I was thinking actually of Jay's character. The
homicidal.
The Slayer is Crow. But for bonus dollars, who played the villain, Voltan?
That was the same guy that was in Curly.
From City Slickers.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Give me a second.
We Jack call Palance? Him Mr. Curly.
Yes. Jack Palance.
That Everyone with LT, take a drink. Jack Palance, one of his greatest roles. I'm so glad that Raul Julia died right after he made Street Fighter. Just so he can go out on top. The greatest role of Raul Julia in his life.
A quick question for you, Tom. Did you see the new Conan movie?
The one with The Rock? No, yeah. The one with the guy.
Jason Momoa.
I did see as much of it as I could stand.
How much was that?
You should have been sitting. It would have been easier. Yeah.
3.75 maybe. It just wasn't good.
No.
Sorry. It just wasn't good. The Rock did something. Scorpion King. Yeah, that wasn't that bad. I watched that
Which
one.
Was better than Conan, than the remake of Conan.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't good, but it was better than that.
Yeah. So nobody remembers the cartoon at all, huh?
Nope. I don't remember the Conan cartoon, no. Not at all.
He had like a shield that had like a phoenix in it, and when the phoenix came out, the phoenix was kind of annoying.
you can tell us more about it, and we still won't remember it because none of us saw it.
Sure, that isn't Harry Potter.
She just didn't have a fever dream.
Might have been a fever dream. Speaking of fever dreams, that's kind of tangential. Josh, do you have a tangent for us?
Well, you just brought up fever dreams. So what is the worst illness you've ever had in your life? Like just drop dead. What's the just absolute, like, drawn out worst thing that's ever happened?
I'm going to predict it's tomorrow morning.
LT, you dropped by my house during one of my worst sicknesses of all time and did not help me. Do you remember that?
I don't think I hurt you, though.
So you're a well-wisher because you didn't do any actual harm.
That's right, the true neutral.
Didn't I drop off food?
No, that's what I needed. I needed provisions. I was in hotel hell. Yeah. No family. All I had was my friends to rely on. I hear a knock on the door. LT's like, hey, where is everybody tonight? We usually hang out here. I'm like, man, I am so sick. I can't. Hey, man, will you go buy me some Cheerios? He's like, yeah, I got to go find the guys, though, so no. And right in front of you, I shit on the floor a little bit because I had the run so bad. And you're like, hey, man, you just shit on the floor. And you just left. I remember. I've been holding a grudge about that. Fucking 25 years.
I used to bring you food all the time. I don't remember this at all. Are you sure it wasn't a fever pitch dream?
Another fever dream. Actually, I was sicker than that one time before. I was training.
I remember bringing you soup and cookies when you were sick.
Is it a fever pitch perfect dream?
It might have been a fever dream because I had cups. So, yeah. There was one time I was training for a marathon, and Lainey and I were supposed to fly out to Seattle to do it, and I got, like, super sick. I had to stay, and I was so sick, I hallucinated that Chucky felt bad for me. Like, Chucky was trying to nurse me back for hell. He was like, I'll kill you later, but man, you look like shit. How about you, Mikey?
I don't want to kill sick you. I want to wait until you're better, and then I want to kill you.
So, I was in Fez, Morocco.
Oh, yeah!
And we were tooling around the city with our guide, and we came across this one guy who was selling these candied almond treats, and the guy back at the embassy was like, hey, Mike, if you go to Fez, bring me back some of these pastries. So I bought them, especially for the guy at the embassy, and the guy had meat out. And he was like, oh, and he's through our translator saying, hey, you try the meat. And we're like, what kind of meat is that? And they were like, it's meat. So we're like, okay, let's do this. I lost 15 pounds without having to exercise at all. The only downside was I was shitting out my brains at the same time my wife was shitting out her brains. And you have never been closer to a person when you share a toilet, when you both have the runs.
As I recall, you sat spread-legged as you could, and she sat on your lap for that.
No. We kind of shared it, and then finally we gave up, and one of us used to shower. That's right. We went Andre the Giant
in
the bathroom.
It's funnier my way. That, and by the way, Moroccan street meat?
Yeah.
You fell for that trap?
It's fucking delicious. That's what it is. I shouldn't have gone back for thirds. That was my problem.
How about you there, Josh?
My story, I have to say I had a kidney stone this year.
Oh. And
a lot of people say it's the passing, but for me it was the initial pain. And it really just felt like there was a freaking gnome thief illusionist behind me with a screwdriver just jabbing into my kidney for 2 hours.
That would have been Malik.
It was probably some of the worst pain I have ever had in my entire life. It literally at points, I literally dropped to one knee in pain. But in a side and interesting note, I have to relay an event that did not happen to me. As an aside, my friend Brian used to go all over on his bicycle, big long tours. So his first big one was from Seattle to Cancun. He rode his bike. And then he went from Paris to India. And before he left on the Paris to India trip, he asked his doctor to remove his appendix. And the doctor was like, no, I can't just remove your appendix. And he's like, look, doc, I don't want to end up in some third world country with a freaking burst appendix getting surgery with a rusty knife.
Or waking up in a bathtub full of ice. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So he's just like, just get rid of it. And the doctor wouldn't do it. So he goes on the trip and Cairo. That's where his appendix burst.
Why did he think his appendix was going to burst? And did he will it to happen?
Apparently, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you want your appendix to burst enough, it just blows up. It's a useless appendage anyway, your organ anyway. It's just there to blow up based on your subconscious.
So he had hysterical appendicitis.
He did, yeah.
I've got to say, I think for me, it was back in 2003. I had pneumonia, and every time I got out of bed, I would just double over coughing. And for two solid straight weeks, I could not do anything but cough. And I've got to say, that and probably when I was a little kid, I had hepatitis are probably tied for my worst illness.
Still sorry about giving you hepatitis. That was my bad.
We should just call you Andy then.
Maybe.
Kaufman.
Boom. Also died of hepatitis.
It.
Well, let's get as far away as we can from that one, and I guess that means we'll have to go all the way to the front of the law box. Mike, what's at the front of the law box today, you drunk bastard?
Today I have The Return of Strangers in Paradise by Terry Moore. Issue number one just came out last week. You can still probably pick it up at your local newsstands. I'm just kidding. Nobody goes to newsstands. At your comic book shop. You could also probably buy it online at Comixology. If you were a fan of the original series, which ran for over 100 issues, it picks up almost where it left off. The original story was about it was a love triangle between two women and a guy. The two women end up getting together. They also had a whole storyline where one of the women was a Parker girl. Whose dog is barking? I don't...
A Parker girl? What's a Parker girl? Or was that Barker girl?
Whose dog was barking? I'm sorry.
Yeah, whose dog is that?
It was Tugboat.
That's Tugboat?
That was Tugboat? Didn't sound like
really?
It.
That sounded too much of a pussy to be Tugboat.
He's outside, which means he's three doors away. That's his bark.
Oh, okay.
From three doors away and
three
half
doors
a house
down.
Away. Yeah.
So Kachu, one of the females in the relationship, was a Parker girl, which is an agency that specialized in seduction and assassination. Now in this current series, she has to hunt down a former Parker girl who has all the information for all the other assassins who worked for this agency who might reveal it to the government and get them all thrown in jail. So it's a love story.
It's a love story.
Sounds it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tommy, what's in the back of the long box?
In the back of the long box, I have Phonogram Volume 1, Rue Britannia, by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McElvey. It came out in April 2008 digitally on Comixology. And it's a story of Dave Cole. He is a phonomancer. So in this storyline, there's magic, but magic is happening by music. So the magicians use music in order to do their magic, and it's kind of a cool story. There's the goddess who is music, and she has different attributes to herself. And the main character Dave is his identity was born out of Britpop, and everybody keeps telling him that he needs to move on from Britpop because it's dead, and he doesn't want to, and Britpop is being taken over and trying to be revitalized and simplified by these retromancers, and he has to kind of stop it And it was a very cool story. The artwork was great. It was a unique new idea, and it was very cool.
Is this a graphic novel, or was this a series, or how many issues are we talking about?
This was a series. The graphic novel trade was basically a combination of six issues of the series. Okay. And then there's several different volumes after that that I haven't read yet.
But send me the information on that one. That one I really want to read. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has tons and tons of references about bands from the 90s and 80s and stuff. It's very kind of cool.
So we ran to our good friend Mike Grell, better known as Jack Scrim, from the terrific movie Space Raiders, The Legend of Saber Reigns. Did I get all that right?
Yes.
All right. And he had a little bit to say about doing the movie and about being a living legend in his own right. And here we go with Mike Grell.
The writer-director is a friend of mine, Mark Grove. And Mark asked me if I'd be interested in appearing in a scene in Star Raiders. And I said, sure, what the heck? He said, yeah, we'll fly you down and give you something to do. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll do like a Stan Lee walk-on, yeah, two blurbs. And when I got the script, it turned out to be seven pages. And of course, he gave me all the exposition dialogue, right? So it's the stuff that nobody else wants to have to say. So we shot it all in one night, and I got to say the crew was great. The cast was very professional. Casper was very, very gracious in that he didn't kill me when I would blow my lines. He was very patient and helped us get through it, and we just had a great time.
That was a great interview. Where did you do that interview, Tom?
We did that interview down in New Orleans, in Wizard World in New Orleans, where not only did we run into our good friend Mike Grell, but Kato Kaelin was walking around like a normal person.
And he ain't.
For my little bit about social justice and civil rights and comic books, I would like to point out Doctor Strange number 382 just came out a little while ago, so that means it'll be about 2 or 3 weeks old for everyone else out there. The storyline is terrific. Doctor Strange is no longer the Sorcerer Supreme. It is now Loki, God of Mischief. And Doctor Strange retires to be a veterinarian because cats and dogs and mice and snakes, it's all just about the same. The world's greatest skilled surgeon would be an excellent veterinarian, especially since he can talk to animals. And where the social justice and civil rights comes in is Dr. Strange starts seeing a world where animals and dogs and cats have real problems with their owners. It's a hilarious read until Loki accidentally puts a very simple shield spell around Dr. Strange's dog, and not knowing that this dog was just treated for a heart condition. The dog passes, and as you can probably guess, Dr. Strange takes umbrage.
Holy shit. It is John Wick meets Dr. Doolittle?
That's exactly what it is. Thank you. And can we all agree, by the way, that John Wick would have been so much better if the gangsters came in, shot John Wick, and the dog takes revenge?
Yeah, I don't know.
Screw you guys. I would love that movie.
Oh, by the way, congratulations to Chad Stahowski. They're going to be making a TV show based on the John Wick novel, or excuse me, the John Wick movie. And he is the executive producer for it and will be directing the first episode. It's all about the hotel from John Wick. I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent.
I love that universe, though. The John Wick universe is fascinating to me with all these, you know, the money and all the stupid stuff. I love the John Wick universe.
And do you know what they gave Chad Stahelski?
One gold coin?
No.
What?
The remake of The Highlander.
Are you blowing me under the desk right now?
What?
The negative, Ghost Rider. Yep.
All right, I can eliminate one person.
That's a good one.
made me laugh.
It's a good one.
He really, yeah. The remake of
The Highlander great. Is in Chad Stahelski's hands.
Yep. Wow, that's good hands to be in. A childhood friend of ours and just someone terrific to be. I trust him. I trust him with this. Every other Highlander movie, such a piece of crap, except for the original.
I was going to say, I think I would have preferred if he was in charge of remaking Highlander 2.
Well, maybe he could reboot the whole thing.
I don't understand what you're saying. There was only one movie.
Yeah.
Because there could only be one.
Yeah. Ablute the others from your memories, gentlemen. It's the best you can do.
I mean, it's not like Sean Connery would do anything for a buck. But he would. He's a whore.
If you don't think Sean Connery's a whore, watch The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen again and tell me he's not a whore.
Forget that. Just look under your desk, Tom.
I'll take people under my desk for $1,400. Your mother's a whore.
Mother's a whore.
Well, that about does it for us on this very, very drunk episode. I think we can all agree that Malik was the greatest thief of all time and Conan's probably the greatest barbarian of all time, unless you take Thundar into the equation, and then it gets a little sticky.
You're forgetting about Gru the Wanderer.
Yeah.
I still think Thundar the Barbarian was a better barbarian.
Ookla, Ariel, we ride.
We ride. We ride!
I got nothing. I got nothing. Yeah, what we was... do ride. We ride.
All right. Ookla, Ariel, trivia, all of what us. Was the name of Thundar's sword?
Sun sword.
The fabulous sun sword.
Yeah.
It was fabulous.
It was fabulous.
And it was fabulous.
Who do we got for plugs today? Of course, we have to plug Pensacon that's coming up. We're doing three panels there, including one with Tony Isabella and Trevor.
Von Eaton?
Von Eaton. I always forget his name. Trevor Von Eaton. Both of them, the people who made Black Lightning, the wildly popular right now TV series on the CW. We're going to be doing other panels as well, including supervillains that we love to hate or hate to love. And The Last Nerd Standing. And if you come to The Last Nerd Standing and you tell us that you listen to this podcast, I freaking guarantee you a prize.
That's a guarantee.
That's a guarantee. Tommy, what do you got?
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts, stained glass prints, and other geeky things.
Will our fine friends from Geek Orthodox be at Pensacon this year, do we know?
They will.
Not only that, but I fear a cover band might be there. Mike, what might that band be?
Eddie and the Whirlpools are going to be performing on Thursday, right before Pensacon, at the back porch. That'll be at 8 o'clock. You should go check them out. And if you haven't subscribed to their YouTube channel, go ahead and do that. You'll regret it if you don't. That's right. You'll regret it.
Is it on
Thursday or Wednesday, Mike?
It's on Thursday. Thursday, 8 o'clock.
Back Porch Grill.
Also, we should thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And as always, this is the podcast you should listen to. But if you like podcasts, you should check out our friends. The Nola Nerd Couple finally came back after a long hiatus and did a podcast about the New Orleans Comic Con. And our friends over at Who's Next are, if you are into sex robots, gaming, and comic books, you should listen to them.
Yeah, we were just on their podcast a couple of weeks ago, and we had a great time. We drank every little bit. I think I might have drinking some of the rubbing alcohol in your bathroom. We drank you dry.
Yes.
That sounds dirty. But we did. We drank you dry.
I was starting to do the pee-pee dance. I had to bust out for a second.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah.
Did you make it all the way to a bathroom, or is it a potted plant in the hallway?
It's right next door, and I just did the power piss thing.
Power piss. Probably a band.
Probably a band.
All right, well, Mike, what is this program like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
All right, and Tommy? Tommy, how could people help us?
They could help us by becoming a sponsor. That's right. For just a cup of a coffee per day, you too could sponsor this podcast for the cost of just one cup of coffee per day. You could sponsor this podcast and help support our alcoholism by supporting our podcast. Did I do it right this time?
No.
Did I?
No.
No, don't hit me. Don't hit me again. Please.
Back to the room of fire with you.
Please stop.
First of
again.
All, for the cup of a price of coffee for blah, blah. Yeah, you're not drunk. I am. So
yeah.
You listen to me.
Yeah. I'm not drunk.
At
the cost of two cups of coffee, you could sponsor us for a year on Patreon. That's right. For just $12 a year, you could be a Patreon sponsor of the Long Box Guys, and it gives you a shout-out from us. Tom, where's our Patreon page? Don't say Patreon.com, you son of a bitch.
It's not at Patreon.com. It's at Patreon.com/TheLongBox Guys. You can go there right now. Now, if you just want to sponsor us for a dollar, that's just $12 a month. That's great. We'll give you a shout out and you can look at a whole bunch of different stuff that we have on our Patreon page. And if you sponsor us for just $2 a month, that's only $24 a year. Every week when we do this podcast, we will invite you on to have a drink with us. Now you have to bring your own drink because it's on Skype, but you will be able to have a drink with the Long Box Guys once a week in an open forum where we drink, talk about comics for a little bit, and we'll even take some of your questions, and maybe we'll even use them on the podcast. You never know.
Oh, we will, because I know. I'm the producer.
Oh, you're the producer, and you know. If you become that Patreon subscriber, the first Patreon subscriber, we will definitely have you as a soundbite. First guy, that's not one of our wives.
Aww.
Well, Lainey said she's definitely going to subscribe just to keep me, you know, going to cons and away from her. I think she said, you know, off the top of me, you fat bastard or something like that. But she's definitely going to subscribe.
Holy shit. My wife said the exact same thing. She's like, I'll subscribe as long as it keeps Tom away from his wife.
Yeah. I think I'll say that. And Josh, Pensacola, Florida. Now, we've been there a couple of times. Surely that might be your sector.
It's definitely my sector.
And I'm sorry I called you Shirley. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live a lot longer.
We melt the highway miles away like sunfire. No stopping tonight.
So has everyone taken a quick glimpse at the Patreon page?
No.
We're not efficient, but we're consistent.